When the warehouse workers gather, you know we gon' be lit. Talking about all matters, dropping that knowledge shit. Cause we get it started, heat the best way. Crack it open with the drink of the day. Then we got Nerd Corner, Josh spitting facts. All types of nerd stuff, all up in the act. But when it comes to females, you know who hit the scene. Ricardo letting you know how we do his thing. Yeah, cause this ain't just some chit chat. Nah, this the warehouse rat.
Hello, hello. It's Josh from the Warehouse Rats podcast, episode 19 of season 2. Holy shit, it's been a minute. Busy schedules and family life and work life and everything like that has just really put a halt in the podcast. So, do apologies. As you can tell, my co-host is not here this evening. Equally as full schedule and work stuff and family stuff. So tonight I am joined by a special guest host once again, Ian from Why Whiskey. Thank you so much for hanging out with me again tonight.
Oh man, I'll never turn down an opportunity to come and spend some time with y'all. This is awesome. Thank you for asking me to be here.
So it's been a minute since we've been here. You know, everything has just been going crazy. The world has been going crazy a little bit since the last time we were here, and just all kinds of shit. So tonight's going to be a little more low key. Some good alcohol and good conversation. So it's going to be low key because world needs a little bit of low key right now.
No shit. We need cuz right now there is no chill right now.
Yeah.
There's zero chill.
Nobody has chill right now.
Nobody has chill. It's like god fuck somebody chill. Fine.
All right. So drink of the day. I actually have a few different drinks over here that I'm really sipping on this evening. I have my first one here is Powers Irish Whiskey Gold Label. Stuff is very tasty. One I'll be trying later is a new one that I've been trying, and it's pretty good. It's Rebel Yell 100 Kentucky Straight Bourbon. It's pretty tasty. And then this last one here was actually mentioned to me by a coworker of mine. It's called Monkey Shoulder. It's a blended malt Scotch whiskey.
Ooh, Scotchy Scotch.
This is I enjoyed this a lot more than I expected to. Especially after the past while, I've been definitely enjoying my Irish whiskeys and my bourbons and stuff like that. So grabbing that, it was a little bit of, it was definitely like a different thing on the taste buds.
Yeah, Scotch is that weird one, man, where it's you have these Scotches that are very much like bourbons. You know, they kind of have that sweetness and those bolder flavors. And then you've got some that are just kind of dirty and musty almost. That single malt just kind of, it just hits you weird. And then you've got the ones, you know, down from like the Isla region that are just all peat, you know, so it's campfire and Band-Aids for days. Initially, if you can get past that, you know, the flavors on the backside of it are awesome, but getting past that initial just punch you in the mouth with smoke and peat is intense. But yeah, no, Scotches, I love Scotches. I'm getting deeper into them now and kind of picking through some ones that I've I'm finding that I am a Highlands kind of Scotch guy, because each region of Scotland has its own unique flavor profiles, and how like the flavors that come from each of these areas, these regions of Scotland, vary so differently. Right. So yeah, so my happy place is in the Highlands.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm drinking tonight. What are you sipping on? Because even though our listeners can't see it, my video chat this back wall behind Ian is 100%. Let's just say 1, 2, 3, 4 very full shelves of whiskey. And that sounds like an over exaggeration. It isn't. Legit, 4 shelves of a whole lot of whiskey makes my one shelf very fancy placed and, you know, staged, look slightly sad. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, so this is 5 years of collecting, and I'm broke. So don't feel bad. It's okay. Yes, 208 unique bottles currently.
Oh, gosh.
Up to date. And yes, I really like whiskey. I really, really like whiskey.
Well, that's fair.
So tonight I'm drinking. I've got a kind of a mix. I picked up a single barrel selection of Elijah Craig from my, I guess, what I'll call my home store now, which is Burlington Wine and Spirits. Hmm. Shout out to those guys. They're awesome. Amazing customer service. All of their barrel selections, they let you taste in the store.
Dang.
Which is the coolest thing ever, because like I'll walk through and look them over and be like, all right, what are we? Da, da, da. I'd be like, oh, I'm kind of looking at this. Be like, oh, come, yeah, come give it a taste. I'd be like, are you serious? Cool. I'm looking at all of them.
Right. Okay. All right, let's dial it back.
They're like, yeah, dial it down, Ian. Calm down. All right. The other one I have is I just got this from the single barrel club that I'm in. It's a Jack Daniel's single barrel rye, coming in at 47 ABV, which I'm kind of digging, man. This is the first time I've had I love the Jack Daniel's single barrel selections. Their barrel proof is unbelievable. I'll be grabbing a bottle of that here actually when we're done tonight, because the new bottles of release of those goes on sale. And then
but I thought you were broke.
Okay, so shut up. I don't share a bed with you. Stop being so judgy. And then I'll just grab a rando scotch that's sitting down on the shelf to just enjoy a scotch with you, my friend.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. We need to get right into it, because some definite nerd talk needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a nerd talk with a slight political twist. So be ready. For those who've been listening, Mandalorian, the show on Disney Plus, has been a regular topic of discussion.
This is the way.
There you go. That's no different tonight, but it's going to be in a different way. For anybody who's seen it, there is an actress who plays a character whose character's name is Cara Dune. She's a rebel shock trooper fighter, so basically she's a badass and everything. And like the first time you meet her, like she and Mando like fight it out, like totally, like, but then they like get each other in a draw, and they're both just like, well, shit. And it just so happens that the actress who plays her, MMA fighter, so I mean she can handle herself. She apparently was let go from The Mandalorian. From what I understand, it is due to controversial tweets and her essentially standing by her guns. It at least what caught my attention with this particular situation was when somebody called her out, because a lot of actors and actresses, they have started putting the quote-unquote proper pronouns after their names. And somebody had mentioned to her that, hey, you don't have the proper pronouns on your thing. She then, in her own fashion, decided to add the proper pronouns of beep, boop, or something to that equivalent. Now, to anybody else, that was probably a smack in the face and total disrespect, blah, blah, blah. Now, as a Star Wars fan, as soon as I read that, I'm like, okay, you know, she's speaking R2-D2. That's hilarious. I'm like, that's funny. People lost their shit. And that was honestly her downward spiral.
Beep boop was the downward spiral.
Yes.
Can we sit here for just a second? The words beep. Boop.
Yes.
We're the start of a downward spiral. That's where we are today. That's where we are.
Oh, yeah. Beep, boop.
Was so, the start of spiral downward.
So I'm kind of like, okay. I'm like, you know, so, and then she had a couple other tweets that were like, maybe those were in bad taste. I get it. She then kind of put her foot in her mouth. Now, I'm not quoting the tweet because it has been since removed. She.
Would you like me to?
Huh?
Would you like me to?
Oh, please, if you have it.
Yeah. So it goes this. Here we go. Quote: Jews were beaten in the streets, not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors. Even by children. Because history is edited, most people today don't realize that to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views? End quote. There was more to that.
The funny thing is, I've read multiple articles about that tweet. The narrative is it paints it so much worse than that.
Yes.
And it's like, again, I think it's I don't know, because I've been stuck on this because I'm trying to deal with two different sides here. I'm trying to deal with the, you know, people need to be allowed to have their views and opinions and be able to voice them without being berated and stepped on. Granted, that's never going to happen because that's just kind of where we are right now. But then I see all these people going, well, First Amendment. It's like, well, yeah, she said it. The First Amendment protects her right to say it, not to maintain her job after saying it. And like, people just don't seem to get it. And they're like, well, it's a First Amendment right. It's like, yes, that protects her from the government telling her she can't say that. However, she is employed by Disney. They are a private company. They can fire you for whatever they want. And I just, and so I'm having this dilemma of feeling bad for her and not. I feel bad for her because she lost her job. That sucks. Yeah. I mean, anybody who loses their job over Twitter sucks.
Yeah.
But
comma.
Right. I think a part of what I have an issue with is I'm not sorry because her character was cool. She's not a particularly good actress. I mean,
total smoke show, though. Total smoke show.
That beside the point.
Wicked hot. No, bro. She brought up like the sex appeal to Mandalorian at least 6 whole points. I mean, Pedro Pascal is a fine looking fella, you know, who brings his own amount of sexiness to the scene. However, comma, I said that twice now. Yeah, she would show up and, you know, it changes because old girl, what's her name? Who's the other Mandalorian chick?
The blacksmith chick.
So yeah, she was the other one that took her helmet off on the boat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. Now I'm gonna hate myself now because I can't remember her name.
I put you on the spot. It's my fault.
Yeah. But no, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm in there, but she does more. So anyway, I gotta come on. I'm sitting in for, you know, I'm sitting in for Ricardo, so I gotta play the part, right?
Yeah, I know. I got you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. So yeah. No, that's absolutely right. And you hit the nail on the head. You have the right to free speech. You do not have the right to employment, however.
Right.
And when you are employed by a company such as Disney, you have to understand the essence of Disney. And she is a outspoken conservative. She has been, from what I can tell, for a very long time. She's unapologetically conservative. and unfortunately her ideals and her inability to voice them in such a public manner ended up costing her her job. I don't think what she said was so horrible. Mm-hmm. It was a little misguided.
Mm-hmm.
And she did draw a comparison, to the Holocaust, to some issues that we're having in our country right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not the same.
Mm-hmm.
She does bring to light that there is parallels for sure in some things that occurred in Germany in the mid to late 1930s, and I think there's some similarities that we're seeing right now currently in our country, not exactly the same and nothing like the Holocaust. So the crackdown on conservatism, if that's a thing, it's not the same.
Right.
At this moment, it's not the same. So to kind of draw to that conclusion was misplaced, mm-hmm. I think, a little culturally insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
She did misquote thousands. It wasn't thousands. It was 6 million by the time Hitler was done, which, that just kind of shows some insensitivity, mm-hmm. kind of diminishing the number, mm-hmm. because 6 million is much higher than thousands. But I mean, she's historically accurate.
Right.
That is a thing. They did run a campaign to, to persecute and out the Jews, amongst their peers first before they just came in and started just scooping them up and killing them at random.
Mm.
So there's some historical accuracies, but again, it's that can versus should. Can you say these things? Yep. Should you? No, probably not.
Probably not.
Not in this form. You know what I mean? Again.
Well, and I think what a lot of people forget and they miss that you're reading somebody's thoughts put to text, which even if you are a brilliant linguist, I think you can read something out of context. So if you type something up, but you're thinking how you're typing it and you think inflection while you're typing it, chances are what she actually wrote probably sounded better in her head. But she hit the little birdie button and then it just went off to the interwebs. And it's like that's why a lot of my social, I'll read stuff on social media, especially when it comes to Star Wars. I'll read something and if it pisses me off, I get so angry, and then I write out this huge comment and everything, and then I erase it because I don't want to have to deal with everybody else followed up, because then my phone's going to be going off and it's going to be pissing me off even more. It's like, you know what? I got what I wanted to say out, even though nobody else saw it. I feel better. I could move on. But also, I am super passive aggressive. So, I mean, that kind of works for me. But,
yeah, I try to avoid as much as I can. But there are some times where it just gets to the point where it's like, all right, cool. I'm going to put this out there. And you're seeing a lot of people. Now, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you don't come out and say something, you're not showing any sympathy or empathy, and you're therefore this part of the problem.
Mm.
You come out and say something, well, you're assimilating, and it's not your problem. Damn. You're this. It's like, well, fuck. So what do I do? If I say something, I'm, oh, fuck. So I just fire and forget. I'll put it out there. And what I find to be the most interesting is how exactly, the people that come in and say stuff and poke holes and those types of things, they're the people that you're connected to via social media, mm-hmm. that have absolutely zero interaction with you,
mm-hmm.
until you post something that they disagree with. And there's an opportunity for an argument, and there you go. And there's so much of that right now. People are, they're not coming to talk, to debate, to have a conversation. They're just coming in to freaking, you disagree with me, therefore you're wrong. Well, fuck off. No, that's not how that works.
Right?
That's not how that works.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And this is one of those cases. Now, I have to say, I am completely disappointed, because although you're right, the acting part of it, she was not great at. I think her acting in Deadpool was probably a little bit better because she had less lines.
I'll say she didn't talk. But,
what?
She didn't talk. She hit stuff.
Yeah, no, her role was better because she had less lines. But I mean, again, you got to put it in context. Like, she's an MMA fighter. She's, you know, so again, right off the get-go, my expectations are kind of low.
Right.
She's a rebel soldier, so she's not going to have a refined repertoire of words to throw at whatever. You know what I mean? No, she's going to talk like a freaking fighter. So I think they casted her perfectly. Mm-hmm. I am going to be bummed that she's gone. I am bummed that this is what's taking her out.
Yeah.
You know, she wasn't written off the show because she died a hero's death. She's written off the show because she said something that people disagree with.
Right. That's something I'm interested to see how they handle in the show. Now, I'm talking to specifically her character. Her character is cool enough, and you can tell by some references that she makes that she's seen some shit, and it's stuck with her quite a while. So I'm curious how they're going to write her off. If they just write her off as in, oh, she went and joined this group and she'll never be seen again. Honestly, I think will be a bit of a letdown for me anyways, because it's like, okay, she's cooler than that. She deserves either a hero's death or she needs a big out.
Right.
Not just she is too busy doing this. But then another part of that conversation is they've talked about if they keep her character in the show, who will they replace her with? Now, I think they can find people who can act better. I think they're going to have a harder time finding somebody who fits that physical detail of the character.
Ronda Rousey.
No.
Well, she brings the smoke show factor in.
Yes, but
for sure. And yes, she's a fighter. And her acting is a little bit better. I don't know if you saw her in, what was that fucking movie? Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah, that gives her credit.
the fuck, what was it, dude? It was the third one. It's like where Sylvester Stallone has like all the
Expendables,
all the old guys. Expendables. There we go. Why was it? I was thinking it was an R word. Weird. Anyway, she was in. I thought she did a great job. I say my vote's for Ronda Rousey. If they're gonna replace now, I think they're fucked up if they do that though.
Yeah.
Because, like, she has embodied that character, and I don't think, you know. And here's the weird thing about this like cancel culture thing. Is
that's a thing still?
Yeah, no, it's still very they don't differentiate the person from the character.
Mm.
So the character may as well have a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away in a social media thing, maybe not called Twitter, but she did the same damn thing. So to bring that character back, they're gonna be like, how can Disney support a character that was represented by this type of person? You know what I mean? Like, that kind of bullshit argument is gonna come out, and you'll be like, well, wait a sec. Okay, so we got rid of the bad person who said the bad words, right? Doesn't mean that we gotta get rid of the character, because the character's fake, fuckers. Right. Like, you know, when are they gonna, like, there has to be that. But I don't think they will. I think they're going to. And it's cheaper, honestly, too. Instead of having to pay another actor to come in and take on that role, you know, they just freaking send her off to, you know, die in a fight somewhere.
But you're failing to realize that how much people can bitch about a character. Let's take Jar Jar Binks for an example. Hang on. Hear me out. Hear me out. Shut the fuck up. Let me hear me out. Okay, so when they made the prequels that came out late 90s, 99, I think episode one came out. Or was it 2000? Or was it 97?
I think it was 97.
Oh, fuck.
You're the worst Star Wars fan ever.
I know, right? I can't get my dates for shit.
Yeah.
But in my defense, I have a hard time remembering how old I am. So, I mean, that's fair. Math.
That's
the biggest, the harder thing is math here. Anyways,
so
there has been almost every reason to believe other than George Lucas saying, yes, this is the case, that Jar Jar Binks was originally supposed to be the main baddie. He was supposed to be Darth Sidious or the Emperor's master in that whole thing. He was supposed to be the main baddie. That was going to be revealed in episode 2. And there's this huge breakdown of all the evidence pointing to that in episode 1. And then on top of that, you have George Lucas on like recording saying, you know, something about Jar Jar, and then saying he ties everything together in this very, very serious tone. And he was so poorly received that they scrapped the whole thing. And then you have people like Count Dooku and shit like that. It's like, you know, so like a part of me is like, they could have had this whole other story arc and this whole other experience of something. But because people complained about a character, they changed everything. And it's just, holy fuck.
And thank God, because I was one of those people, right? You know, I was one of those people that going, what the fuck is this? Who is this fucking dumbass? Why is he a part of this thing? You know what I mean? The guy licked the electrical bolts between the freaking speeders, right? And then he's walking around with his tongue flopping. No, hell no. Jar Jar Binks was a bad decision from the get-go. And maybe he wasn't a bad decision from the get-go, but how they presented him was a terrible decision, right? Because after the role in episode 1, no one's going to believe that he is the mastermind of evilness in the galaxy. Nobody. No. No, this fucking moron is not going to be the guy who's running the freaking Sith from the ground up. He's not going to be the guy in the chair in episode 9 either.
But that would have been a hell of a twist, though.
I would have got up and left the goddamn theater.
Fuck you guys, I'm out.
The moment that gets revealed, right? And nope, I'm out. I cannot manage this.
Oh, my God.
Even if he would have been in the crowd of people in that freaking whatever that weird planet was of the Sith, right? I still would have been out. I'd have been like, oh, look, that's Jar Jar. Yeah, I'm gone. I'm
cool. Cool little tidbit. Those of you who enjoy music and can appreciate music, watch Star Wars Episode 1. The very last scene where you're on the planet of Naboo and everybody's celebrating and everything. You have the Gungan civilization playing this very upbeat, happy music and stuff like that. It's been shown that John Williams is a fucking genius. Now, for those who don't know who that is, he is the composer for Star Wars. And when I say composer for Star Wars, I mean he writes all the music for Star Wars. The music for that is the Emperor's theme song in a higher note sped up. How fucking crazy is that? It just... oh, it blew my mind. I'm like, no, that can't be a thing. And the fact that it is, it's like, how did we not see it? But we should have seen it because we knew what was going to happen anyway. But still, holy fuck.
I'll have to go back and check that out because I don't recall.
It's
maybe it was because it was the Gungans playing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, no. That kind of leads to the argument that maybe he was supposed to have a bigger role, right? So, I mean, that I would use that as evidence to say, you know, yes, that, you know, the Gungans maybe have more of a role in the dark side than anything else, you know, or a connection there at least somehow.
Right.
The theme matches, but like he's between John Williams and George Lucas and those guys, like the little Easter eggs that they plant. And the little things to watch and to see, and how they did it with cameos. When they for episodes 7, 8, and 9, you know,
well, John Williams was in it.
Yeah,
he was the bartender with the eye patch in Rise of Skywalker.
At the bartender with the eye patch.
Yeah, where they needed to find somebody who could get into C3PO's brain. Like, as soon as I saw it, was just a quick thing, too. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, dude, that looks like John Williams. I was like, oh my God, that dude's in it. Oh my God. So, but yeah, they add all kinds of shit in there. And honestly, that stuff is for the, and this is probably a dangerous phrase, the actual Star Wars fans. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. Would we call them zealots? Is that a, I
mean, No. You have.
Yeah.
So, okay. See, in my book.
That's where we just make noises.
Right. So in my book, you have fans and fanboys. Now, fanboys are the ones who are going to bitch about every little thing that they can find anything under the sun to bitch about. Because they want it their own way. They want it however they have it in their head.
Why are you attacking me right now?
I don't know. I'm not attacking you. I'm making sure you know the difference. So,
thanks.
I think you're just feeling a little guilty. But anyway, fans are the ones who, like, if anything Star Wars, doesn't matter. Eat it up. Doesn't matter. Like, it's like with me, anything that's come out with Star Wars, there are things that, you know, if I had the chance, maybe I would have done differently. And honestly, like, with all the behind-the-scenes stuff that I've seen, the stuff they cut is the shit that needed to make it to the final product. Especially with Last Jedi, not gonna lie. That movie had so much... Oh, shit, hitting stuff. Had so much shit in it that needed to have made the film. But it didn't. No idea why. No, I can't get talking about it. Anyways, fine, because I'll go forever. We can't. So, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with another whiskey, and then we're going to mess around with why whiskey's a random question generator. So, we'll be right back.
This the warehouse rack.
And we're back. I mean, I had to cut the Star Wars talk off because once I get talking Star Wars, I just go. And there's been multiple conversations with my wife where I can see that just the shades have gone over her eyes and they've gone glossy. And I realized that this entire time I've been having conversation with myself and it's like, well, fuck, time to move on. So we had to cut it off. Otherwise it was just going to be all Star Wars. Can't do that. So
my eyes have crossed. Oh God.
So Ian has not only his Why Whiskey podcast, which if you enjoy, whiskey and history stuff, definitely go check it out. He also has another one called The Morning Monkey Show, which is, I would say a dramatic departure between the Why Whiskey Show. It's at least when I listen to it, it's definitely different. They do every now and again it's on Wednesdays, you do the random question generator, which they range from funny to silly to very insightful, philosophical, and just kind of random, you know, was a banana yellow before they came up with the color yellows bullshit like that. So, I mean, it's all kinds of crazy. So, but also they're great talking points. So we're going to get into this random question generator thing and see what it's all about.
Absolutely. So this is it's from conversationstartersworld.com/random question generator. And it really is a phenomenal tool to get people to open up and talk about weird shit. You want to get into somebody's bizarre freaking corners of their brain? Ask them some of these questions. And, you know, you and I did this with Dad, actually, on the Monkey Morning Show the one day. And man, I tell you, it takes you down these roads of thought that are bizarre, and some of them are just silly and goofy and they're wonderful, but other ones, man, they hit you with like the no shit, like, you know, something you giggle at, but when you actually put, you know, thought, effort into it, it's like, go, what? You know, something silly. So we're going to start off with some funny. We're going to go into some philosophical, and then we're just going to freaking roll the dice and see what happens. All right. So the first ones we're going to start with are, would you rather?
Oh,
so,
no.
So just some would you rather funny stuff, okay? And this first one, I actually did on the show, and it freaked me out then. It's freaking me out still because there's a picture with this one, and it's fucking bizarre. So the question is this. Would you rather be a reverse centaur or a reverse mermaid slash merman?
Okay, so reverse centaur, you would have top half horse, bottom half human?
Yeah.
And then reverse merman would be top half fish, bottom half human.
Correct.
Holy fuck.
So take all the sexy out of Ariel.
Yeah. You get the worst of both ends.
For real. She's got tits. She's got gills. This is too much. Well, I'm telling you. So for those of you listening at home, you should definitely go look at the picture because it'll fucking freak you out. I would have to say I would rather be a reverse mermaid or merman because I can live underwater and nobody has to see me.
Except the other fish. And I'm assuming if you have a fish brain, you understand fish.
Yeah. What do I care?
So your audience just got 10 times big and you have just as many people like, haha, check out the dude with no tail. Or what's that little thing? He can't call that a fin. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, shit like that.
Why is there a worm stuck to him? It's weird. There's an inchworm joke in there somewhere. Right. I don't know. But no, man, I honestly, no, I would. But see, I'm not thinking. I'm not worried about the fish. I'm worried about the humans. Because you still got, you got half of a human body. See, you got a fish head.
I would say I'd probably go horse. Because with shit like that, you're definitely bound to get some kind of reality television show deal. I mean, so you're already making bank.
True. That is legit.
I mean, you basically would just become another Kardashian, but I mean, it's just, you know, to each their own.
But instead of the wide weird being at the bottom, it's more at the top, which is bizarre. And the picture, so the picture has, like, literally half of a horse from, like, the front legs up coming out of this dude's, like, neck area.
Oh, my God.
No, dude, this shit that's, like, here. Oh, I'm going to fuck up my camera. I can't move right now. But anyway, I'll send it to you. Like, it's
okay.
Okay. Like, this is nightmare shit. Anyway, all right, so let's move on to something else. Right. I just pulled that picture off my screen because it's freaking me out. All right, fair. So next one. Would you rather only be able to use a fork, no spoon, or only be able to use a spoon, no fork?
Can you modify the spoon?
You're going too deep. That's not the question.
Okay. I would say fork. Most importantly, because you can still eat ice cream with a fork.
True.
Not very well, but you can still eat ice cream with a fork. You can't eat steak with a spoon.
Watch me. Watch me. I would be the opposite of that. I would have to go with the spoon. Because if you think about it, very few foods require you to poke them to eat them. You poke them out of convenience.
Oh, yeah.
But you can definitely, if you go slow, you can lift them and scoop them and put them into your mouth. I need soup, man. I gotta have my soup.
So how would you do spaghetti?
Okay, so that's one of those ones where, like, you need a fork, but there's very few of those. I would say, screw it all. I'm just going in with my fingers.
Right. Well, then what the fuck is the point of having a spoon?
That's not the question. A spoon or do you want a fork? You only get one choice.
Sorry. All right, moving on.
Okay. Would you rather have to read aloud every word you read or sing everything you say out loud? So everything you read, you'd have to read out loud. Everything. Mm-hmm. Like walking down the street, you see a billboard. You've got to read, which actually our dad does anyway, which is so you've got an in.
Right.
Or everything you say out loud, you have to sing.
Read. because I kind of already do that. Like, especially at work, like if I'm focusing on something and I'm putting, like, filling some stuff out or like doing some kind of something, I'm saying it out loud, even though I have headphones on. Like, especially at work, like I'll have one of my earbuds in and I'll have the other one out because I can't have both of them in for some weird safety thing. But like I'm saying it out loud, like blah, 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 blah. Like I can hear myself say it just because it just helps. But also I have a memory issue. So I mean, I think it just helps for me to remember. But no, I would definitely take read everything out loud because I have a terrible singing voice and singing everything would be terrible for everybody.
I would Hamilton the shit out of it. I'm singing everything. Wow, everything. I'm singing it.
Nice.
Just, yeah, no, because, I mean, if I'm going to be uncomfortable, I'm going to make everybody else around me uncomfortable. Let's share in this misery parade. Here we go. All right, next one. Would you rather? Oh, this is an interesting one. Okay, so would you rather wear a wedding dress / tuxedo every single day or wear a bathing suit every single day?
Like, for clothes? Like, that's it?
Yeah, your options are a tuxedo or a bathing suit or a dress if you would choose to wear a dress, Josh.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that's kind of your thing. But
hey, you don't know how I identify.
True talk? True talk. How dare I assume?
I'd have to go with a tux. Unless I could be super picky about the swim trunks. If I could get... Well, so just like stationary, you know, 20 inches above the knee swim trunks. I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because.
Yeah, GDTs, the little tan ones.
Yeah, because like I'm like hella white.
The boys hang out the bottom. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'd go with a tux. I'd definitely go with a tux. I can rock a suit, man.
Yeah, I would definitely go with the tux as well. Although in the summer, it would kind of suck, but I would definitely. It's classy.
Yeah.
You look kind of fucking fancy.
You'll class everything up.
You just show up and everything is just more fancy. Okay, here we go. Last one. Would you rather? Would you rather have whatever you are thinking to appear above your head for everyone to see or have absolutely everything you do live streamed for anyone to see?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
None of those are a win. None of those are a win. Holy shit. Yeah, I don't like the live streaming thing at all.
Not even a little bit. But let me tell you, I would be more comfortable with that than I would be having my thoughts above my head. Because I think some really fucked up shit. Right? And fortunately for me, my filter is not gone yet. I think once I retire, that will go away. But for now, I'm able to have those thoughts in my head, and they don't come out of my mouth. If everybody can read those things, I would probably go to jail, you know, or at least not have any friends at all anymore. Because, like, man, my brain sometimes goes into the fucking weirdest places. So I would definitely live stream everything. Shame on you if you're going to watch me poop or enjoy, you know, the privileges of marriage. Shame on you. Maybe I find my calling. I don't know.
Nah. So you're saying you need an OnlyFans page or what?
It may be. You never know.
We'll just start a TikTok. That's how they get there.
I have one of those, and it doesn't work.
Well, you just got to put the right song. Oh, what you need to do is you need to do that new cool red light trend. Have you seen that on TikTok?
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah, so basically you just need to, like, get, you know, video yourself and then do the quick transition to where you're, like, in your skivvies, all sexy and everything, but there's a red light behind you, and, you know, yeah, it'll work. You'll be famous.
All right.
Just get your ranger panties on, and you'll be good.
Okay, here we go. We're going to change the topic. Here we go. Funny questions to ask.
All right.
Oh, this fucking question has been the bane of my existence. Is cereal soup? Why or why not?
Is cereal soup? Why or why not? No, because I'm pretty sure soup is defined as some... Well, no, fuck. No, no, that's wrong. Is cereal soup?
I've had the pleasure of having this conversation for over an hour with the gentleman that I work with.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. And I just am asking to watch the internal turmoil go on in your brain because it's just fucking ridiculous.
Well, if I say yes, does that make cold soup cereal? Is the context of cereal or soup just because it's hot or cold?
That's not the question.
I need... we'll see. That's where they get you with these questions. They don't give you any context.
I mean, the context is right there in front of you. Is cereal... yes or no? And so you look at cereal, mm-hmm. right? Grains, liquid in a bowl container.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at soup, very often the same thing. Can you put meat in cereal? Yes, it's gross, but you can do it.
Yeah, that would be pretty gross.
I mean, marshmallows are basically animal byproduct anyway. It's lips and assholes in a marshmallow, so, you know, it's kind of already there.
What?
So it's hot and cold. Yeah, man, it's like gelatin, right? Gelatin is what holds freaking marshmallows together. What do you think gelatin is?
Totally makes me rethink Lucky Charms. Holy shit.
Yeah. I'm just saying. So is cereal soup? I don't think so. My official position is no. It is not. Can you like twist it and turn it and fit it into some weird definition? Sure, you can do that with anything.
Right.
You're soup. I'm soup. Doesn't matter. We're just in a lesser like prepared form of it.
Would we be considered like sausage links, how they're like in a skin?
It'd be like Vienna sausages.
Sausage is sausage.
No, you're missing the joke. Vienna sausages are those tiny little ones that come in the can.
I want to say that's racist, but I mean.
Yeah. All right. So next question. Moving on. All right. What's invisible, but you wish people could see?
What's invisible that you wish people could see? I have to say, honestly, I go immediately to oxygen because I hear so many like arguments like, well, you can't see oxygen and blah, blah, blah. And it's usually those kind of conversations are usually revolved around like faith and religion and stuff like that. Like, you can't see the air, but you know it's there, like shit like that. It's like, okay, so what if you could see the air and oxygen? It's like, okay, so would that change all of those conversations? It's like, what would they then have to refer to when they talk about shit like that? So yeah, so oxygen, I would say. But at the same time, I think about it, it's like, okay, so if I'm sitting here and every time I take a breath in, I'm like, but also the ex-smoker in me would be like, maybe I would enjoy that. Because then I would have that, you know, that weird sense of, hey, I'm kind of smoking, but not really. But
but then you'd have to be able to see carbon dioxide because that's what you breathe out.
Yeah. So the ex-smoker in me would feel like I'm smoking like all the time. So quitting smoking would be hella easy.
So easy.
Right?
Yeah. So for me, it'd be farts. Yeah, dude, can you imagine if you could see a fart and you can just avoid it altogether and not have that friggin' thing just penetrate your nostrils and just be awful?
But yes, but when you go to like a large city like New York City and you see nothing but a cloud of fart and it's like, what are you going to do? It's like, oh, Jesus, no.
If you can find open sidewalk in New York City to walk on, you can avoid the farts that are in there. I'm telling you, it's possible. It's possible. I would like to see farts just so I can avoid them. That would be my thing.
That's fair. That's fair.
All right. Here, this is a fun one.
Okay.
Is a hot dog a sandwich? Why or why not?
Is a hot dog a sandwich? No. because, at least according to me, a hot dog does not require bread of any kind, whether you're considering that a bun, or if you've had poverty hot dogs like me, you take a piece of bread and you just wrap around a hot dog. So, no, because hot dogs don't require bread. A sandwich does. But then you run into the whole weird thing about people who get naked sandwiches and where it's just the lettuce.
Right.
So no, no, fuck no. I'm going to say no.
You're going to say no?
I'm going to say no.
Okay. I mean, because it's a piece of meat between, you know, you got to think about a hot dog, not like an individual hot dog, but like how you get a hot dog at a freaking, you know, ballpark or whatever.
It's meat. Well, that changes the parameters of the question.
Well, my argument would be this, is that a hot dog bun is one piece. A sandwich requires two pieces of bread.
Have you ever really had a hot dog bun that actually stays together in one
piece? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The initial construction is one piece, singular. You were just too aggressive with it, and you tear it apart. Your fault, not the bun's fault.
Well, because I just want to eat my food. I don't care what the hell it's wrapped in. I just want to eat it.
You need to savor the hot dog. Slips and assholes, man. You got to savor them. You got to savor them. All right.
I think that line of thinking is taking us in a weird direction.
Yes, it is. It certainly is. Because it's come up like two or three times.
Huh.
All right. If animals could talk, which would be the rudest?
My cat. My cat, more than any animal that I've ever had the pleasure of dealing with, has given me looks of, oh my God, if I could eat you, I could. Actually, you know what? No, story time here for a second. I remember one particular time when my wife was working second shift, and so she worked late in the evening, and I was working super early, so I would go to bed early. I wake up, it's about 11 o'clock at night, and my cat is sitting on my wife's pillow watching me sleep.
Creeper.
Like I legit had the fear of, okay, how long before I can start eating his face? And so I was like, legit freaked me out to the point where I had to remove him from the room, shut the door. And at that point in time, we always had our bedroom door open, didn't even think about it. I shut the door, and I was like, I'm not even dealing with this because that's just way too weird. So cats, 100% cats would be the rudest.
That's fair. So a shout out to the historical AF podcast. She did a thing on cats and the history of cats. And eating your face is actually a thing.
Oh, dear.
So, yeah, yeah, no. So there was legit, like, you were justified in that. But okay. Does that make the cat rude or just
yes,
hungry?
It does. No, it makes him rude. It's like, you should respect me as your owner enough to leave my fucking face alone.
Yeah, I would agree with the cat thing. I think cats would be rude as, but see, I don't see in like a violent way. Just their demeanor, you know what I mean? Like they like look down on you.
Yeah. Right? Like have you ever seen those videos where they stare at you and just knock something off a counter?
Yes.
They look at you and then knock something up. Like my cat has done that. Like my cat will come up and rub on me and like, hey, oh, pet me. And then as soon as I go, I do like literally one pet down the back, and then his head comes whipping around and then bites me every single time. And it's like, dude, you asked for this. It's like, either get pet or get the fuck out.
Rude as fuck.
Yeah. Cats. Jesus.
And I mean, you can incorporate that into all kinds of like critters, like, you know, cats is what I mean. When I say critters, I'm talking about all kinds of like, so tigers and lions, you know, right. I see them being incredibly rude sometimes. Just kind of popping out of the bushes, grabbing somebody, dragging them back.
Boo!
As fuck. Right. Yeah. That person didn't want to get dragged into the bushes. How dare you? All right. Last one for this, and then we're gonna move on to a different set. Okay. In one sentence, how would you sum up the internet?
Oh.
Next question.
Yep. Oh no. Okay. So once upon a time, that answer would have been you've got mail.
Yeah, when you were 10.
No. But for some reason, that whole AOL connecting to the internet thing and then the movie and all that has just been... and the little yellow guy, I mean, that will forever be the internet. Or the idea of hey, get off the internet. I need to use the phone. Or some shit like that, you know?
Let me tell you the worst. You never had to experience this. But when you're waiting for pictures of boobs to unpixelate, and your mom picks up the phone and kills the connection, and all you're left with is a frozen screen of unpixelated boobies, it's tragic. It is absolutely tragic. So for those of you younger listeners at home who have no idea what I'm talking about, you live in the glorious times of the internet. Those of us who had to work through its birth.
The struggle was real.
We have different stories to share. I would right now, honestly, I would just call it a fucking dumpster fire.
Oh, jeez.
That's what it is. I mean, so it is probably one of the most useful, incredible tools that man has ever come up with. Mm-hmm. We have literally connected every corner of the globe, potentially, to communicate, to share, to grow, to learn. And what do? We post stupid fucking dancing videos. We yell at people who we don't know and have absolutely no connection to, right? We get on there to fight because we're too fucking scared to fight people in person. So mm-hmm. we just hide behind a keyboard. It's bullshit. Mm-hmm. We have depths of knowledge available to us at the click of a mouse. And what do?
We go to Wikipedia.
And we say the same stupid shit to the same stupid people every fucking day. It's ridiculous.
Holy shit.
And complete. That was the wrong question to ask. I'm picking the question. Don't let me do that again.
No. I was like, I'm just answering. Let's go.
Just you stop that.
Actually, we're into, or I didn't even talk about my second drink. I had my second drink was the Rebel Yell 100 Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Rebel Yell, honestly, is one I've been getting into. I have a couple of theirs right now. I have their bourbon whiskey, and I have a ginger flavored whiskey. But I'm a sucker for ginger ale, so this stuff I have to pace myself because I could kill a bottle in an evening and then, you know, die of alcohol poisoning. But I mean, you know, whatever. So I already have that. So right now I'm into the Monkey Shoulder. Shout out to Eric, if you're listening, man, you put me onto this stuff and it's tasty, dude. So this is the blended malt Scotch whiskey. Not to mention it has a pretty cool bottle. Honestly, that's what I look at. If you look at my whiskey, it's not about flavor profile. It's not about this or that. It's like, hey, that's a pretty cool bottle.
Yeah. See, you know, you can take those monkeys off and like glue them to other things.
I can?
Off. Oh, yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Well, that's not that bottle because there's no monkeys on that bottle.
No.
But the other one. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Sorry. My glasses are meant for stuff that's close, not far away. Those are... Those are arm reach, so they're too far.
There's six bottles on that counter.
All right, so let's get into a few more questions here.
All right, so we're going into the realms of philosophy.
Oh, shit.
So get fancy.
Mm-hmm. Hang on, I got to push my glasses up a little bit to be more fancy.
More fancy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What you got to do with your pinky?
Oh, right. Hang on, here we go. Yeah. You got to take a sip.
Oh, there you go. His pinky is up.
Now, let me tell you, Ricardo is the best for taking drinks with his pinky up. And
sometimes I do it without even, like...
Right. But see
how, like, curls?
See,
like,
when
I won't even. Yeah.
When he people, does it,
what are you doing? I'm when, fucking drinking.
But see, the thing is about Ricardo, when he does it naturally, you don't even think about it. And he just takes a drink. But when he does it on purpose, he does this where he'll stick his head out and he'll like he's got to think about it a little bit. And I'm sure if he were here, he would he'd be giving me shit. But you know, all is fair when you're not here.
Exactly. But you can't defend yourself.
So. Right? So, but no, he definitely goes above and beyond when he purposefully puts his pinky out to take a drink or something.
What I love about that description is like him putting his head forward to meet the glass instead of like bringing the glass. Like that's, I can see that. That's hilarious. Right.
Well, yeah, because you're too good to bring the glass to you. Philosophy. Let's go.
Philosophy. Here we go. Right. So we're going to go easy on this first one. All right. Nice. Nothing crazy. Nothing super deep. That's a total lie. Does fate exist? If so, do we have free will?
Yikes.
That's a tough one. Mm. And I think because it's hard to be relative with that one. You almost have to take a dualistic stance because to ignore fate, right, means we get to choose everything. Everything we do is choice. Nothing happens because it was meant to be or whatever. It's all a product of our choice, mm-hmm. which would give us free will. But, you know, the moment we say, you know, it was destined, it was written in the stars, then we had no choice whatsoever. We have no free will. No matter what decision we make, it's done. And the crossover into religion is always a fun topic to talk about this one.
Right.
So, but here's the deal. If we can make them coexist, mm-hmm. can we make them coexist? I think we can. I think the outcome is going to be the same. The levels of met potential in that outcome mm-hmm. is what changes. So we're going at the end of this, we're going to stop recording.
Mm-hmm.
Destined, fate, it's going to happen, period, mm-hmm. right? Now, when we stop recording, are we happy? Are we sad? Mm-hmm. Are we drunk? Yes. Are we, you know what I mean? So we get to whatever the predetermined point is, but how, like, our status at that point is going to be what we can control. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
See, like, when... Oh, shit. When I think of fate, I think of absolutes. Like, it's going to happen. You can't get around it. You know, like death. Death is fate. You will die at some point. I mean, there's just no getting around it. Like, a part of me likes the idea of fate, that whatever great things I do or whatever are destined, they're written in the stars, so it's like, so I don't have to worry about it because they're going to happen one way or the other. But then it's like, okay, but what if I don't want to do that? I want my own free will. I want to be able to make my own decisions for my own life. But then if you have a shitty life, then you're like, well, fuck, I wish fate was better. I mean, you know, it's
my fate sucks.
Right. So it's
his fate's way better than mine.
So it's almost like a no win kind of thing. It's like, you're either, if you believe in fate and you look at your current situation, are you like, oh, well, my fate is awful and I'm destined for nothing. But then if it's like, okay, but if it's my own free will, then it's my fault that I'm in a shit situation and everything sucks. And it's just like, again, it feels like there's no win. And like, Oh, fuck. Now this is going to mess me up. Alcohol not included, but... like, I think of meeting my wife. Was it fate? Initially, I would say no. But then I think of all the things that had to happen for that to happen. Going into crazy detail, like, the reason she and I even met was because my dad got a job in a different town that we lived in, so we had to move. But in order to move to that particular town out of the entire country, he had gotten denied jobs all over the place. We're talking, as far as, you know, Nebraska, and clarification, we're in Michigan right now. So yes, that is a far ways from here. So he got denied jobs all over the country for just to so happen to be getting the job that he got, that just so happened to put me in a position to meet my now wife. Because if he had gotten a job...
So it was fate. So he didn't get those jobs because it was determined that you needed to meet Amber, and therefore...
That was fate. That would be the argument for fate.
Right.
But
here's the deal. But to go back to my point, to like my part of this is, so the fate is predetermined. You met Amber. Mm-hmm. Now, whether you guys are friends, whether you become husband and wife, whether you... become great enemies. How that transpires is where the free will comes in. You were determined, it was determined for you that you were going to meet Amber. Whether or not she became your wife was up to you and the actions that you took to make that the end goal or the end state, the end state,
right,
versus, any other outcome.
So the fate was to meet her. The free will was to marry her.
Right. Was the outcome of that relationship. Was the outcome of that meeting. So what's the outcome of the meeting? Your marriage.
Mind explosion. Not just marriage, but fucking kids.
Family,
life, yeah. Home, all that shit. Holy balls, man.
Right. And then think about this. Like, going down that line, think about your kids, right? Your kids were determined to be on Earth. Like, there was their fate was to be there. You just made the right choices so that those kids are yours.
Or the sperm they came from were just cooler than the rest of the other sperm.
Well, I mean, yes, that is how reproduction works in humans. But what I'm saying is, like, your kids were already, like, determined to be humans on Earth, whether or not they were your humans or somebody else's humans. So had you had that meeting with Amber not gone as well as it should have, or the outcome been different and you not been husband and wife, your kids would still exist on Earth. They would just be somebody else's.
That's slightly depressing.
A little bit.
Because, don't get me wrong. There are plenty of days where my kids piss me off to, like, no other extent. But at the same time, thinking that if those kids... were somebody else's kids, like, that makes me like watching sad Pixar sad.
Yeah, but there's some days that I would celebrate them. Somebody else's job. All right, we've beat this one to death. Let's move on.
Right?
All right. Okay, this is a good one, man, and I really like where this has the potential to go.
All right.
What actions in your life will have the longest reaching consequences? How long will those effects be felt?
So read it again.
All right. What actions in your life will have the longest reaching consequences? How long will those effects be felt?
Well... initial response would have to be
a long time.
Simply that there are, okay, let me say long time for the
answer
second half.
The second part of the question.
Yeah. Well, second half, yeah, a long time. First half would be, and this is kind of a weird, obscure thing. I don't know if listeners know this. I'm a painter and actually come from painters. I actually have on my wall a painting of my father as a child that my great-grandfather painted. And I've sold paintings to people that are just out there.
And you can find his store in a van down by the river somewhere near Kalamazoo. Sorry,
yeah. Yeah. I'm cool enough to have a van. But so, I mean, I would say a while, mostly because I think, and I think because I have an artsy background, is that we know of painters from forever ago that came from nothing, that had nothing, that weren't anything until after they were gone, and people then just realized their brilliance, which I'm hoping happens to me at some point. But if... if I follow history, that means I have to die first. I'm sorry, but I would like to enjoy life a little longer before I get famous for art.
Cut your ear off, you know, Van Gogh that shit up and
right. Dude, no, he killed himself.
Okay, don't do that. That was a terrible. That was awful. But,
so
don't listen to me.
Okay, so I think it's more of a hope of a long time because of the paintings that I have and that are out there.
So the action would be your painting.
Yes.
So you think your painting will have the longest reaching consequences, and those will be felt years and years later.
Yes.
Or for years and years from now.
Yes.
Because they're out there. Okay.
And the only reason I say that is because I remember, one of the first paintings I sold, I was at this, in Battle Creek, Michigan, there's a establishment called the Art Center, if I'm remembering it correctly. They do this, or they did this thing, I don't know if they still do. They had this thing, every summer they would do what they called a yard sale, where they would allow local artists to come by and sell whatever they had done. So one year I participated in that, and one of the biggest canvases I had done at the time, and I had tried a new style and just something different. This guy showed up. He, before even saying anything to me, he just stared at it for like 2 or 3 minutes. He just sat there and looked at it, and then he left. And then he came back. He stared at it again. And he and I got talking, and he was like, one thing I remember this now, and this was like 13, 14 years ago that I sold it. And he was like, I'm looking at this painting, and for some reason, I think of New Year's, Times Square, New Year's Eve. And honestly, this painting, and I know exactly what painting it was. It wasn't anything fancy. I literally, like, what I was trying was, what I would do was I would take a glob of paint and basically, like, kind of bead it on a canvas. So, like, there was depth to it, but this canvas was, like, 4 feet by, like, 3 feet. I mean, it was big. At the time, it was one of the biggest canvases I had ever painted on. And he was just enthralled with it. And he's like, how much are you selling it for? So, and I told him, and he's like, well... he's like, this is all I have. And it was a little bit under from what I was wanting to get for it, but I was like, you know what? Take it. Because I see how you are with it, and I wouldn't keep that from you. So take it. So definitely yes. My paintings that have gone out and that are still around. I have a couple of mine on the wall around here. Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's a good answer, I think.
I think, motherfucker.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not a philosophizer. So for me, I think it would be my words. I think my words are going to be the longest reaching, or have the most, you know, consequence. And I hope those words are good, and those words are the right words, or they're the words that help influence, you know, someone. I'm not looking to influence the masses or the, you know, a million fucking people. I'm looking to, you know, give me one person. Let me change the world for one person. With my words, and shit, I'm good. I done it. That's it. I have met my goal, you know? And I think that'll be it. I think that'll be, whether they're written, whether they're spoken, whether they're, you know, on a podcast that somebody finds on a hard drive in a burned down building, you know, a million years from now, I don't fucking know. But I hope that's what it is, you know? I hope that it's words. So, and I think that'll have the biggest one. All right, here we go. Let's go. Next one. Would things get better or worse if humans focused on what was going well rather than what was going wrong? I'm going to let you chew on that, and I'm going to go ahead and jump in.
So, can you read it one more time for me?
Real quick? Of course. Would things get better or worse if humans focused on what was going well rather than what was going wrong? So if we focused on what was going well, what we're doing right as humans, what we're getting, the things that we're getting right, I think things would get better. It doesn't say that to not acknowledge what we're doing wrong and what we're fucking up. We need to acknowledge that. I think that's super important. But if we can not beat each other up for what we did wrong and celebrate each other for what we did right, acknowledge what we did wrong, I think we're going to be better off. I think we get better. What say you, great thinker of less hair, fancy glasses?
Yeah. My initial response wants to be the focusing on what is going right part. Read the question again. Holy fuck. I'm totally messed up with this now.
You would do this to me.
Did you already switch the question?
I moved on to the next. I'm getting ready, man. You had the answer. You were just going
to... getting ready is a click.
You were going to rail it out and just be like, yes. Like, all right. The question was... Son of a bitch. Give me a second. We can edit this up. Or not. It's going to be fun either way.
Everything makes the podcast.
Everything makes the podcast. Don't think we got this far.
Okay, so essentially was if
essentially is
would be would we be better off if we focused on everything we did right or everything we did wrong? Initially, I want to say everything we did right, obviously, but then if we did that, we wouldn't acknowledge the things we did wrong in order to change. Like,
I got it.
Oh,
would things get better or worse if humans focused on what was going well rather than what was going wrong? Would things get better or worse if we focused on what was going well than what was going wrong?
I think they would get better. Because, like take the nightly news, for example. Like, it's so depressing because it's...
Jesus.
It's filled with with stuff that's just terrible. And that's, I think that's evidence of things we've done wrong. And so essentially bringing focus to things we've done wrong. So it's like, okay, so what if we change that focus to things that we've done right and things that we've done well? I would assume that would, honestly, I think that would change the world. I think that would change so much because we're overstimulated with negativity and things that are fucking up everything else. And it's like, where's the good stuff? There's got to be good stuff somewhere. Right. Somewhere.
Jesus.
With
like. During the heart of, I'm going to call it the heart, but it really wasn't the heart. I would say it was the head because it was kind of when it all started. Like the COVID stuff, like when we went into the initial hard lockdown, what was his name? Oh, he's an actor. He was in The Office. He was in the 13 Hours, the Benghazi movie. Shit. I forget his name. Anyway, so he did this thing like the Good News Network.
Oh, fuck. He's got a long name.
Kaczynski?
Yeah, he played Jim on The Office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget what the actor's name is. Anyway, so he did this, like, that he shot from his cell phone in his house, yeah. Right? And it became this huge thing.
Yeah.
And it was uplifting, and it was wonderful, and I was like, man, why the fuck isn't news like this all the time?
Right.
Like, you know, you can share the facts of a bad situation, but don't use the goddamn tremor words, right?
Right.
Calamity strikes when Tony's cat gets hit by a car. Ah! Like, stop it. You know, Tony's cat died today. Okay, thank you. There's the facts. I don't need all the fancy words to make me terrified that friggin' there's a random car killing cats out there. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Just goddamn it. But... And then mixing in the good stuff. And when they mix in the good stuff, I don't know if you notice this, the sons of bitches, they throw it in there like as a, you know, as like a redemption thing.
Yeah. And then they tag it off with a like a cute little tagline. Like let's say it's about a ice cream shop doing extra care for the homeless or something. They would wrap it all up with like, and that's the full scoop, or you know, some bullshit like that. And it's like, no, just say, hey, Joe Schmo did something awesome for homeless people. It's like, no, you don't have to make it a thing. It's like, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. No, the crazy, the terror in language, I think is what's killing the news. And we need to address the things that are bad and the things that are wrong, I think, in my opinion, so we can fix them and we can get them better. But if we don't make them, you know, as long as everything's not a calamity, I think we'll be okay. You know, everything is not the end of the world. Because the way we're talking now, the end of the world's going to actually happen and we're going to be like, meh, you know? Like, what the fuck? Because right. We've used all the crazy, scary words to talk about Tim's cat getting run over, you know? Right. That is bullshit.
Well, see, that makes me think of back to the news when Peter Jennings was still doing it. That dude, he knew how to bring the news, all right? He was able to tell you the facts. And at the end of it, you were like, okay, that's a sucky situation, but I don't feel like, you know, I can't leave my home anymore. Like, I can only imagine what he would have been like if he was still in the news today, especially during like the whole COVID situation. Because for some reason, whenever I watched the news and it was him, and fuck, he died forever ago now, cancer.
Yeah. Well, the guy smoked like 2 packs a day. In the studio.
Because it was healthy back then. You know, so I mean, I don't know. And even with the news and media, and I god fucking don't even dare say the phrase fake news. Because that alone by itself makes my sphincter tighten. It's
bizarre reaction.
Because it just, it makes my whole body tense up whenever I hear anybody say fake news. And I've heard people say that, like, genuinely and naturally. And it's just like, ah, it's like, think of it of like fingernails on a chalkboard. That's what that phrase does to me. And it's like, shut up. It's like, news is news. You didn't know it before. You know it now. And whether it's real or not, you don't fucking know. You were told a situation that you didn't know before, and it's move on. It's just fuck philosophy. Where's the question, Donna? Like, if you would do this chick or that chick or without limbs or some shit like that.
Your sexual escapades with differently abled individuals, I don't think comes with the random question generator. You've got a weird path right there. I don't know if I can follow you on that one, but we will change. We're stepping away from philosophy. We're going back to some really shit.
Thank
so
Christ.
These are questions to ask your boyfriend. So in asking these questions, for those of listeners wherever, ask your male significant other or female significant other, or however they identify. I don't give a fuck. Ask them and see where these questions go. So we're done with philosophy. However, some of these questions are rather deep in philosophy themselves, which kind of pisses me off. I've gone through like 9 of them already. Like, we're past this. That was 2 drinks ago. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Great question. If money was no object, where would you live?
Ireland.
Why? I know the answer, but
fuck, because I've always wanted to go there. Other than finances, the one thing stopping me from going there is the idea if I go there, I'm terrified of the idea of I wouldn't want to come back because it's been one place I've wanted to go to for forever. Is as far back as soon as I found out like our name was Irish, I wanted to go to Ireland. I wanted to do this. I wanted to be there. And then a few years back, my folks spent like a month there, and just having conversations with my father about it, I was like, dude, why come back? And it's like,
for real,
right? And so yeah, Ireland without a doubt. I'd in a heartbeat, if finances was not an issue, Ireland hands down.
I like that answer, and I have thought about that, but for me, I don't know if that's a thing. If money was no object, I would probably build a mansion somewhere in a location that has a mountain behind it and the ocean in front of it. So I don't know where that would be. Probably Chile in South America, because it's got the Andes right behind it.
Right.
It's got the freaking Pacific right in front of it. So I think that would probably be somewhere in there. And you can get from the top of a mountain covered in snow to the beach in very short order. You can do that in California, so I'm told, but I think California is going to be floating here, not, you know, before too long, with any luck. Anyway,
right?
Sorry, Californians, I love you. Well, some of you.
Yeah, some of you.
Anyway, but yeah, so wherever that place might be, that would be it. Hmm. And because I want to go walk on a beach, and salt water is therapeutic for me.
And then but climb
so
a mountain.
Like, mountains are my sanctuary, so... So yeah, so somewhere between the ocean and a mountain, where I can access either one whenever I want, would be where I'm going, if money were no object.
Mm.
I'm just not sure where exactly that location would be.
That's fair. That's fair.
Man, that smells like apple juice.
What?
Yeah. So no. So I grabbed a scotch to join you in the scotch thing, and this is Glenmorangie. This is the Cadbolle Estate. 15 year. this won like the Whiskey Advocate's like top 20 of the year award. Super cool, beautiful bottle. It smells like apple juice.
Mine, this is the Monkey Shoulder. Does not smell like apple juice. But I'm not going to lie. I'm buzzing a little bit. So my smell receptors are probably messing with me. So it smells.
Your smell receptors.
Yeah, it smells like alcohol. So we're good.
I like the booze.
So more questions for our boyfriends.
Yeah. All right. What makes you angrier than it should?
Oh.
Fake news.
Oh, fuck. So much. So much makes
breathing.
Me so angry. So this scales from shit to do with people complain about Star Wars to people who don't use their blinkers. There is so much about everything that makes me so irrationally angry. Like, I guarantee you that when my kids learn how to drive, they won't want to drive with me because I'm going to be pissed the entire time. The
entire time.
Everything. And that's a terrible, honestly, that's a terrible answer. Everything makes me irrationally angry. Yeah, because it will take the littlest thing, and then I'm just like, motherfucker.
I rage on a hair trigger these days. Like, seriously, like the littlest freaking boom, and I am in the depths of rage. No shit. Here we are. We're in Lower Manhattan. Dad's driving, mom's in the car, and dad is being so polite. We're on our way down to the World Trade Center, and we're driving in New York City, which is a terrible fucking decision any day. And dad is driving politely. Dad's driving in Michigan, but we're not in Michigan. We're in Lower Manhattan.
Right.
And so his politeness has caused us to sit still at this light for 9.5 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And so this taxi, finally, it's like the fourth one that has cut over, and dad goes to wave him in, and I'm like, and this is me yelling. I'm at the top of my lungs yelling. I'm like, no, long blast that motherfucker. Let's go. And to which mom doesn't react well. Dad doesn't really long blast him, gives him a honk on the horn, and then goes around him. I'm like, Jesus, stop being so nice. We're never going to get anywhere in this city. Little things. I'm with you, dude. And the same thing, like you said it with the kids, they're going to learn how to lay on the horn and cuss at somebody before they learn how to use their blinker. We had a moment the other day where like, so merging onto the highway is the bane of my existence. And let me tell you something about Massachusetts drivers. And if anybody's from Massachusetts, you can get angry if you want to, you know, it's true. These sons of bitches, they call them mass holes for a reason, and it's generally they're driving. So this dude is coming on to the on-ramp, and all he's got to do is hit the gas. He's going to pull right in front of me, and both of us are going to excel, and then we're going to get into the highway at the proper speed, and we're going to do exactly what we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
What does this son of a bitch do? He hits his brakes. So I don't know what he's going to do. So is he going to still try to come in? And now we're going to share one lane? Because that doesn't fucking work. You can't do that with two cars. So then I slow down. And then he fucking, I'm like, all right, so what's going on? Anyway, I end up freaking cursing this dude's mother straight to hell in probably 7 different languages. And my daughter is sitting there with a giant smile on her face. Just in awe that I know that many swear words. Because the son of a bitch just didn't hit the gas. All he had to do was hit the gas. And we're good.
Right.
That's all he had to do. And we were good. But no, I'm with you. I'm with you. But anyway, so I don't start raging again. Here we go. This is a good one.
All right.
This would be
I think we're going to... we'll get one more, and then we'll wrap it up for those who don't like to hang out for the whole thing. We're gonna do one more and we'll wrap it up.
Oh, we can wrap now.
No, we'll do one more. One more. Fuck okay, those people.
All right. Okay. Here we go. What was the best thing about how your parents raised you?
Oh.
Yikes. Which is gonna be interesting because we had the same parents,
right?
I think.
What?
Allegedly.
Am I adopted?
Just answer the question.
Okay. Freedom of expression. Whether that was in what I wanted to do to an extent, or how I wanted to dress or present myself to the world. I can only remember a couple of times where they said, nah, no. And so, I mean, you know, so, but for the most part, they were very accepting of how I wanted to express myself, especially during my, if you want to call it,
the corn phase.
See, I don't want to call it a corn phase. I just want to call it a high school phase, because shortly after high school, all that kind of went away. Yeah, so
there was black clothes and weird braid thingies
coming down. Weird hair, the weird clothes. I mean, shit, I still listen to the same music, so I mean, that hasn't changed. It's just what I wear. And that's only
right. And your hair got so mad at you for doing it that
it ran away. It started saying, "Fuck your head. We're gonna come out your chin."
You gonna do that? We're moving to the ears,
right? Oh fuck. So freedom of expression, to an extent, I think they excelled in and took with very large strides, because holy shit, I decided to express myself in some really weird ways.
Concur. I was there for it. I saw it all. It was terrifying.
Good stuff. Yeah.
That's a great one. And I see that, and I experienced some of that. But I think for me, it was them teaching us how to judge people by character. I think that's probably one of the biggest takeaways, and one of the greatest things that I was taught was to be able to assess a person not by how they look, not by how they dress, not by how they be, you know what I mean? Like to assess them about the aspects of their character. And that was good, because growing up in the church, I think that was like, there was a lot of, there's a lot of fake motherfuckers in the church, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And being able to see that people who dress pretty and say the right words on Sunday are some of, hey, there's some fucking shitty people that dress pretty and say nice words on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And being able to not be fooled by that, right? And not be fooled by somebody who is dirty and gross and whatever, you know, disassociating and casting them away as being, you know, less than worthy of our time and attention. I think that's probably one of the best lessons was the being able to assess character, not based on outward appearances. So that would be my answer. And with that, I'm going to shut down the random question generator for
you. Oh, fuck that random question generator. Holy shit.
Yeah, we almost got lost in the philosophy.
Fuck philosophy. I mean, there's a reason I almost failed that in college. Oh, Jesus. Anyways, so ladies and gentlemen, hey, Warehouse Rats podcast is coming back slowly because we're trying to get schedules figured out. They're still fucked in kind of a way, but we're figuring it out. So this week, Ricardo was not here. Hopefully we can get him back next week. If not, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep doing this because our listeners have been asking for more, and we're trying to get it to you. So we're going to wrap up tonight with Ian. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. It's always fun. And of course, I always drink way too much and enjoy myself probably way too much. And while I edit this later, I'm going to be like, oh, shit. But it's still a lot of fun. So that's all that matters. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. Ian, thank you so much for hanging out tonight and giving us some holy shit kind of questions to sit here and figure out. And I hope at least one of our listeners is still thinking about these questions later going, God damn it, I wish I didn't listen to that because now I can't get a question out of my head. So thank you so much. This has been a treat.
My pleasure, buddy.
So, folks, we're out for tonight, and we will be back again, hopefully nowhere near as much time in between. So we'll catch you next time. This is the Warehouse Rats Podcast. We're out.